Are there parts of motherhood that did not come naturally?
Do you feel overwhelmed? Are there secrets you wish you knew in advance about the motherhood journey?
Could you use a place to cope with motherhood, laugh your woes away, and lighten the mommy guilt?
Welcome to TORD, Finding a Mom Life Balance.
Welcome back to TORD, Finding a Mom Life Balance. On this week's episode, we're going to talk about encouraging life skills, self-care, and self-sufficiency. Torn Tribe, it's good to be back with you. I'm excited to be back here where we're talking about the crazy kids we have and the amazing parenting tactics that we take to raise them up. Memes, how are you doing?
Oh, pretty good. Liking the family time this time of year, kicking over from Halloween to Thanksgiving and the holidays, and you know, I often share that once Halloween kicks off, it feels like it's nonstop through February when Soph's birthday is. And probably extended to March now that it's just with Justin's birthday, but it's that he's away at school during that time, so it's different. He has his own kind of celebration, but you know, this is that busy, exciting, schedules are full time of year, but also my favorite magical time of year with the holidays. So
yeah, definitely. And we changed the clocks, Torn Tribe, and got that extra hour of sleep.
Yes, we did.
And then we for some reason sped up to halfway through November. How did that happen? I cannot believe I picked up my kids today and then realized, holy snap, we're already at Thanksgiving break, which I keep calling fall break because I just can't wrap my brain around it, that they get two breaks. But yes, it's been an exciting time. A lot of things going full fast, but we're in the season of a lot of things ending and new things starting. So wrapping up a season of gymnastics, we're wrapping up a season of soccer. We got a tournament this weekend, Torn Tribe. Root for CSA Kings. Let us win this year. Bring in the heat. They were all excited tonight. I practiced. It was really cool to see. These boys have been playing together now, I think some of them like 5 years. So the chemistry is tight. We're finally there. We're one of those teams. I'm excited. So it should be a good weekend. So Beams, this awesome topic of encouraging life skills, self-care, self-sufficiency. Where do you want to kick us off?
Well, we got to this following up our last episode. We were thinking about, like, what are the things we're doing to encourage independence, self-sufficiency, just life skills. And, in our last episode, we were thinking about what do we do with our flaws. But in all these areas, like, we might have strengths, we might have areas that we're still working on ourselves. And so how do we set the bar for our kiddos? What examples? What are the things you definitely want to give them exposure on? When? So I think really relevant to think about what are the things we do for a gradual release so that they can make these choices for themselves.
Yeah, I remember the first time. It was during the time that I was building my homeschool curriculum for Sasha, my oldest son, when we first brought him home from Ukraine, and we decided that we were going to homeschool. And this lovely friend of mine that had many, many years of homeschooling, and all four of her children already had graduated. I think her youngest was in college at the time, when she passed on all her homeschool materials to me. And I remember going through the box and seeing a manners book and seeing life skills books. And I just didn't remember seeing it in a textbook growing up. Mm-hmm. You know, like it, that She actually had curriculum on how to build this into your everyday so that your child, although they weren't going to a traditional school, could also learn the social norms and the life skills that they would need to interact and work in groups and, you know, be part of society. So I thought that was interesting. And so it took me forever to embrace it, though, because I don't know, memes. Like, we grew up in a household where, did we even have chores?
At least. I did. I got stuck to the bathroom. I was only deemed worthy of being Cinderella in the bathroom.
I don't remember really
having. It was like the grossest task to ever have. I'm like, why? Why was this? Like, I couldn't dry dishes. I couldn't do something. Like, on my knees, scrubbing floors. I'm never good enough. Never hitting all the spots, but that was the room I was always given.
The bathroom? Huh.
And I, dusting. Then it was like dusting. It's like,
I remember being told to do that stuff upstairs, but I don't remember actually, like,
yeah, because on a mommy basis doing she didn't it. Have to live with your layer of dust or whatever you settled for, so she just was like, yeah, sure, you'll live with it, whatever you do is what you live with. But I was always on the same level as her and sharing the space with her, so it definitely, but not consistently. It wasn't, you know, certain times once I was able to ask for permission to go on my own or make plans with friends, that was always like, did this get done, hung over my head. But I never felt like it didn't hamper any of my, like, school responsibilities or the amount of time I had for watching television. And when I think it was, like, it wasn't. I meet students who have so many more ongoing, serious for the family dynamic to survive kind of responsibilities, like picking up siblings from leaving the high school, going to a middle school and picking up their sibling, cooking, that are cut kind of part of the functioning of their household. That definitely wasn't the way it functioned for us.
Yeah.
And it's curious when you were talking about manners, because even as a teacher, we try to work in events that are the way students get exposed to these different things, because there can be things that are happening at home, taught at home, prioritized traditions. But we also don't want to assume that everyone, you know, and I think it starts as young as the pushing in your chair, and we talk about, like, leaving places cleaner than we found them, but also sharing gratitude, being polite, you know, setting a table, serving, having, like, a buffet style with each other, what it's like to set things up and celebrate and have decorum with each other, and then how you break that down and use resources. And so it's interesting because I don't remember learning it that way either at school, but it's definitely something I've experienced and thought about in the way I create learning for students.
Yeah, and because we didn't have, like, a consistent chore schedule or chore responsibility, you know, like, because we had friends growing up that they would get paid to do their chores. I remember Dave's sad attempt of trying to institute that in our home. It didn't go over anything. We got paid for, like, a week, and then everybody forgot about it. But we didn't have, like, consistent chores. So when parenthood came and we started having our children, you know, clean the table, put the dishes in the dishwasher, learn how to do their laundry, fold their laundry and put it away, I experienced mom guilt through that entire process, because I'm like, my mom folded and did my laundry all the way till I went to college. Like, I didn't learn that until I was left there that first semester, and I still went home with, I think, all my dirty clothes, and then asked mommy to teach me how to wash clothes, and then I did it the
next
semester.
Shame on you. Shame on you.
I did it the next semester because
I had, like, to ask her to stop expecting to do my laundry, and then you came home and ruined everything.
I was like, she finds joy in fluffing this stuff and making things that are originally white stay white. The white t-shirts, She gets so mad. She's like, why is this white t-shirt now gray? You're supposed to separate? I didn't know. Wasn't aware.
But it's interesting because my motivation was that of the fact that those things never found a place in my routine to be prepared for the day-to-day when I went away for college, that my intentionality with the kids is to make them aware you don't function in an ecosystem where it gets done for you and then magically make your own system or environment and know how to incorporate those things. And that's where I felt at a loss. And it didn't come naturally, and it definitely felt like extra work, and it felt sudden. So it was almost like it felt like a punishment for not having done some forethought or something before. And so I try to institute it more out of exposure and thoughtfulness of when it's happening and what the systems are. So I will be grateful for the blessing that my youngest has asked, can I help you fold, and things that I would have never asked my mom at her age. So just the willingness, and then not having it be like a burden. What I associate with laundry with my mom is at times when the machine at home wasn't working and we had to go to a laundromat, it was torture. It felt like I was like tied to him, like I was washing the machine, washing the clothes. I was doing the job the machine was doing, and I was not scrubbing in the old fashioned way of washing clothes, but that's how it felt. And I was just present.
The inconvenience of having to sit there. Yeah, I remember those days having to push the cart. I'm like, so none of this is practical.
At all. So also getting that balance, because you do want them to be able to problem solve if situations are different. We don't know what they experiences they'll want to have. And you want them to be able to think outside the box and not just think like things are just going to magically appear in their drawer, folded and clean and mended and in good use, you know, like in good repair. I don't feel so much of the guilt of, because I'm not consistent enough for it to really feel like a consistent chore yet. And that I did feel like the burden of figuring out how to get it into my life so that I would have those things done or accommodate my schedule or be prepared for things I had to do, that I think it's really essential as I would say is the task of being a student and being a caring part of the household and be thoughtful to each other and spending time and listening to each other and communing. I think all those other life skills will definitely make life and living with them more enjoyable for everyone around.
Yeah, I will say this, as my boys get older, I feel less and less the guilt of having them do the chores, because in our household, it's once you turn 10, you become part of the chore crew. And so they have to like organize their room and help clean the bathroom or do their own laundry and fold and put away their clothes, load the dishwasher, unload the dishwasher, and help clean up the kitchen every evening. And those chores, what I've realized now that my older son is about to graduate college is like his freshman year of college, he had no culture shock. There, it wasn't hard for him to just maintain. He transitioned so seamlessly to doing all those, and they didn't overwhelm him. He didn't like not show up to class because he didn't have clothes, you know what I mean? Like, he was well prepared for all that he didn't even recognize the change in and having also, to do it somewhere else.
I find it curious how it's kid by kid, because Justin did not do any of that and took to it very seamlessly also, which I was surprised. I was definitely anticipating a bump in the road,
some pink clothes
for him. It's like, maybe you didn't have what, and the truth is I'm not there, so I don't know if there was a day that he woke up and didn't have any clean underwear, but nothing with ripple effect that really, you know, caused a challenge for him in his first full semester away.
Yeah. My mom's like, what's all these Walmart charges? Underwear. Because I did not understand how to use that machine in the other room. I'm like, which one's the dryer? Like, what's going on here? And why does it take so long? I've got time.
Oh, it is quite a time sucking inconvenience. But I have a whole system now that I am pretty proud of.
Yeah, so it does help with independence. So Torn Tribe, don't feel guilty about the chores. Do them at age appropriate levels, you know, like our 6-year old, he can fold the blanket now. So the expectations, fold the blanket that you sleep with, man. Don't leave it thrown on the floor. One thing that they all started doing when they started going to school is taking out their school clothes, because I iron everything on Sunday nights. And then the rest of the week, they're just pulling out their stuff for the next day and hanging it on their doorknob so that when they get up in the morning, groggy eyed and complaining, they know exactly what clothes to put on and don't have to fret. It's a time saver too, and it helps them get organized, because this is the one thing I've realized meme with encouraging their life skills, like how to take care of things in the house or their own property, is how often kids actually desire and thrive with organization. Like, you would think, kind of like you were saying about Soph, that she actually enjoys sitting there folding the clothes and helping. Like, if it's introduced to them as a natural part of life, they don't see it as an extra thing to do. Mm-hmm. It's harder as they get older if you introduce it too late.
Have to make the time. Yeah.
So don't surprise your kid. Help them out.
I agree. It makes me also think about the ways you want them to be able to maximize like their health and how they use their time. And so I think about balance under that kind of umbrella. It's like diet and meal prep and hydration, but it's also, you know, our catchy self-care, but it's what you do to take care of yourself. And it does not have to just be along the lines of like meditation or a timeout or a reset, but more in an organic way, working in things that are rest and repair and resetting yourself, and things that are work or tasks, or and having a balance in that so that it doesn't feel arduous, but it also doesn't take away from the joy that you can have if you have a good measure of all those things in your life.
Yeah, the self-care aspect, the one that I've been thinking about lately, memes, is all around their wardrobe and the different seasons. Because many of my boys are quickly growing and getting taller. Like, you buy them pants, they're shorts next week, you know, so they're constantly changing. And so one of the things that I've realized I've slacked on, or that I haven't really been conscious of, is their appearance and taking them to a store to teach them how to shop. It's like, you know, I don't know, back in the 90s, I feel like we hung out at the mall all the time. But now that's kind of not the thing to do. You don't really hang out at a mall or go to a store.
It's also a mix that you're shifting from the just provide it and have it there for them. And it's our choice, our budget, our timeline. And then it shifts to a little more of like their choice and their influence of what that is. So that also looks different. Because I think both you and I share the dread of being in a mall or having to do that. Like, when you already have so many things to do all the time, that's not necessarily where you want to be for chores' sake. Like, I think you and I differ a little that I will enjoy if it's like for leisure or gift buying, or and still I prefer that online to some extent. Anything that I can get a good sense of what I'm getting online, I will do from my bed while I'm still watching a streaming something, or hanging out. Like, I much rather do that than deal with parking lots and other people and crowds. But I think it's also the, I went through a stage where it would just be like, I would do the capsule of what was Sophie's daycare clothes for a phase. And there was no feedback on, oh, I don't like overalls, I want pants, tights are fine. And now there is a little bit more of an opinion.
Yeah.
And so then it fixes into them having to be a part of the replenishing and when they're growing so fast and all of that, for sure.
Yeah. And having them so close, it's like we went to Old Navy the other day with all three boys and we're trying to stay focused. I realized quickly, I was like, oh, they just don't even know where to go, because one's going to the bright colored scarves. So I'm like, that's not what we're here for, man. Like, there's school pictures. You need some shirts. You need some pants. We're entering cold weather. You have no pants, so we need to get pants. And it was so funny because they're all like all over the place. And one of them just didn't even know his size. Like, he was just arguing. We had to take the extra small to the fitting room. I was like, because just to prove to him that he wasn't an extra small anymore. I'm like, no one in our family is an extra small anymore. Like, gotta get over it. You're not that size. I promise you. But and then what I do love about my boys is that they do like to try it on before we purchase it, because we grew up in a household where certain people didn't like to try things on and then you spend more time exchanging it. It's like, if you would have just tried it on in the store, we wouldn't be going through this. But I will say this, Torn Tribe, this is my biggest pain point. I've yet to solve it. How do you get boys that agree to the pants in the fitting room to agree they're exactly the same pants the next day? Like, they have this, like, it's my two middles. They have, I don't even know what it's called.
Low tolerance for formal wear.
They have low tolerance for anything that's
not sports attire, like comfy running pants, sports attire.
It's too painful. I'm like, so I bought one child corduroys. He looks so cute in these corduroys. He's like, they're so stiff. I'm like, in the fitting room, he's like, oh, I like these. They're so comfortable. I literally did nothing with them, Torn Tribe, except put them in his closet, take them out of his closet 2 days later, and all of a sudden they were stiff and he wasn't going to wear it. I said, no. And I had a pointed conversation with each of them separately. I said, you do realize that you just said these are comfortable, they fit okay, you can sit, you can breathe. We're buying them, right? You agree. If I buy them, you have to wear them. Each of them broke that promise in less than a week. Because the corduroy pants, all of a sudden, he's like, but they're stiff. I don't know why they're stiff. I'm like, no, you're stiff. Like, that's the problem. It's you. It's not the pants. I haven't even washed them yet. And yes, Torn Tribe, don't judge me. I took them from the store, did not wash them, because I knew said child was going to act like this. So anyway, so finally he wears them. And then the other one, the other child, I found the black pants. I was like, where are the black pants that I bought? Really? And mind you, they're athletic black pants, but they were hidden all the way in the back of his closet. So I finally find them. I'm like, you're wearing this to the birthday party. Oh my gosh. He did not talk to me all the way to the birthday party because they were just so uncomfortable. They can't be the right size. I'm like, dude, Torn Tribe, this is how ridiculous it is. So I'll welcome any feedback. I bought the same exact pair of pants, black and exactly the same style, everything, same pair of pants, one black, one white. How is it that the white fit fine, but the black don't? That's literally the difference between the two pants. They're the same size. They're exactly that. They were on the same rack, same style, same cut, same everything. Just the color is different. It just drives me nuts. So I'm like, no, you were wearing those pants. And he had the nerve to sit in the car with the pants rolled up to his kneecaps. I was like, you could go in looking a fool at this party. I don't care. But you are wearing these pants. You said to me in the fitting room, you would wear these pants.
You committed.
Yeah. Self-care sometimes, teaching them this, Torn Tribe, just takes endurance and patience. And making them wear the things that they made you purchase. Because, of course, I walk out of Old Navy after spending like $300. And these little people don't want to wear what they bought. I'm like, but you said you liked that shirt. And you said you liked it with these pants. So why can't we wear this outfit together 2 days later?
And it's comfort. We get that a lot at school with professional dress. It's like, oh, it's so uncomfortable. No, it's also exposure and practice. So you find your thing. I am not a three-piece woman suit person. I would much rather a skirt suit if I'm going to do any, but I'm also just, I prefer a dress, especially for an event that maybe I'm hosting, because I want to be comfortable, be able to move around and do all the schlepping you have to do to host events that you got to look nice for. And you just get to know that with time and trial and error. And so if what we're comfortable in all the time, we're not trying other things and other looks and for time, you know, like, they do feel like they're putting on a costume for yeah, that day.
And sometimes they need a costume. I said the costume exactly. helps you yeah, act a certain way.
I don't it definitely like... does. It definitely does.
I'm like, yes. Like tonight we had an art show and it says, dress your best. Oh my gosh. Because we were going to soccer practice afterwards. I caved, Torn Tribe. I caved because we were going to soccer practice after. I'm like, you know, I am not fighting. I'm not fighting with these three kids about what to wear. So one son wore a very nice button-up shirt, nice pants, and he wore his shoes, not his Crocs, because that's the other thing about the self-care, Torn Tribe, trying to get these boys to wear more than just Crocs. I'm like, you do know they make shoes with laces.
It's an epidemic. It's everywhere. That's all kids want to throw on is these Crocs.
Yeah, well, I have a child that his feet are ginormous. Like, his feet are big. So we were on a mission. It took us how many shoe stores? Like 5 or 6 to find him slip-on sneakers. And like, Zeke, slip-on sneakers in this size? Reserve my comments. Like, it's just... It's a unicorn. You're trying to make me find a unicorn, but he does not like to tie his shoes. So thank you, Nike, for creating such shoes.
They're the best. They're the best. His Thea has some slip-on sneakers, too.
But of course, we try on the same shoe, Torn Tribe. Not even a different color. Same shoe. 2 size 7s. Tries one on. The back feels kind of weird. Like, okay, we'll keep looking. I pick a different box, size 7, same as the next shoe. Half hour later, they feel comfortable. I like
Perfect.
These. Just drive me a little nuts. But it's worth taking them through the experience, enduring it with them so that they learn later how to buy things themselves and drive themselves mad without you present.
Yes. Because I was definitely like a single item purchaser in late middle school to high school. And then it would end up in my closet with no match, no shoe that fit the look. And it was just wasteful. Wasteful. And it was just like a cute independent thing that I didn't think about how I would wear it or if it would fit in my wardrobe, if I had really developed a wardrobe that I could like mix and match and get a look. And you know, it's trial and error. I do a lot better now. I know myself better. I know what I'll actually wear. I know what else it would match with in my closet. So
there you go. And then self-sufficiency meme. Teaching my kids how to problem solve and figure things out for themselves. I will say part of their ineptness is my fault because I am a consultant by nature and overbooked all the time. I don't know how to stop at Torn Tribe, the crazy schedule. So I automatically just, it's in my nature to just give the answer and hurry up and move on to the next thing. But I've been actually learning to restrain myself these days and pausing long enough, that amazing power in the pause where it gives them time to think about and hear their own question out loud and then see if they can figure it out themselves.
Yeah, it's curious because I think about it. We're challenged. We're facing the morning get ready challenge, and I have been pleasantly surprised to find a child with lots of lotion on in an attempt to get themselves lotioned well. And I will take it. I will take it every time and use some of her lotion after I like worked her out, rub it on my hands, to just get to that comfort. Like, they have to use those muscles. They have to build those motor skills. And in the problem solving, they have to do the trial and error. Like, we didn't figure it all out the first time. I think about it a lot in the kitchen with baking and measuring and like getting the recipe right. And it's really hard for me not to want to, like, I want to be the Food Network chef that has everything in pre-measured cups and we just dump, 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 dump. But that's not how they'll learn to get it, or how they'll innovate, or how they'll get familiar with what effects things have with each other. So I think it's getting comfortable with the discomfort that they're gonna like not see the obvious answer, not maybe think of the most logical solution the first time around, or maybe even the second. Yeah. But also, like we were talking about a few episodes ago, analyzing their approach, seeing their strengths, seeing the things you can work on so that they can get the most out of that trial and error with a little reflection or a little debrief of like why they did what they did, how they thought it went, what they think they might want to do differently.
Or you'll be surprised by the ridiculous things you encounter, like bathroom. The bathroom and being self-sufficient in there is so, so challenging. I don't know how many times I can tell them, please double check that you have a towel and a washcloth before you take the shower.
Hey, I'm 44 and I still holler for someone to come bring me some stuff.
At least you holler, because they don't holler. They just drip, or they use. I'm like, why do I have so many hand towels in the washer? Oh, I forgot my towel again. So you decided to use the one that everybody wiped their mouth on and their toilet hands, like, please hop back in the shower. I'm not sure, but yeah, so self-sufficiency for them might come at a price. I know I've been finding myself buying a lot of shampoo and conditioner these days because I don't think they're pumping it out right. I think they're using way too much, because I'm like, you guys don't really wash your hair that often. I'm not sure what's going on here, but it is a skill worth learning. And also the other thing that causes me to allow them to figure it out and has made me more conscious of letting them problem solve on their own is that they have raised me on this pedestal of I know everything, and that it's not possible for me to have been exposed for the first time at the same time as them. For instance, this is where it came up to me. that I had this revelation is that we're sitting and watching a movie for the first time together. And I've never seen the film before. They know I've never seen the film before. But still, they'll ask me questions like, I know what's going to happen next. Or that I've seen something that they haven't seen. And I'm like, no, I'm just as misinformed as you. Like, I'm waiting for the details too. I'm trying to figure it out too, what's coming next and why they did that or who said that. But they really think like I always have the answer or I know everything. And so to squash that thought, because I don't have all the answers, and I don't know everything, I've been letting them explore more and teach me, you know? So, well, Torn Tribe, we would love to hear from you guys on how you encourage life skills, self-care, and self-sufficiency with your people and your tribe. And we're going to move on to our men segment where we share what is helping us keep it together throughout the week.
And now for our men's segment, where we share a highlight from the week.
Memes, what's mending you?
Well, by the time this releases, I will actually be on a surprise family trip. And that's all I'm going to say, Torn Tribe. You'll have to tune in to hear more about it. But just the planning, the surprise, the family time, the details have been mending me. I got to a benchmark in what I needed to plan and do and could finally feel the joy of like moving towards execution at some point this week, which definitely was way later than I was hoping to get that feeling.
Yeah.
But I would say it's that gift giving part of that joy I get from like creating those things and seeing people's reactions that is really mending me and pulling me through.
Yeah, it's awesome.
How about you?
So as a family, we've been coloring pictures and sending them to this ministry that actually prints them out and posts them in hotels in Israel. And they actually hand them to children that have been displaced because of the war. And so it's been mending to see my boys get excited about sharing love. And so they've been freehand drawing stuff, like Philip had taken all his superhero stickers. The guy's a sticker guy. Philip loves stickers. So he took all his superhero stickers and like put them on this piece of paper and drew some birds hanging out or hearts or whatever, and just wrote Philip USA, like his little six-year-old handwriting, and just seeing Zeke excited. And Zeke, one of the things that he did was he took a picture, it was a printout of the city of Jerusalem, and he actually colored it like a rainbow. He's like, I'm not going to color it the way that it actually looks, because when we went there, some parts are black because people are like touching the wall too much, or it's like that limestone brown color. He's like, I'm going to give it like a vibrant color. Being the rainbow child that he is, he colored the whole thing a rainbow, and it just looks so happy, so lively. And so it's been mending me sitting with them at night, coloring these pictures, because we're actually going to package them up and send them with our friend Rachel, who actually lives in Israel but is here in the States. So I'm going to send them to her, and she's actually going to take it and deliver it to some IDF soldiers that she personally knows. And so it's really cool to see them wanting to share love and hope and encouraging messages to folks that they know are just having a hard time. And it's been giving us a really good time as a family just to sit and color. Torn Tribe, coloring, oh my gosh, I don't know why we ever stop. Like, it is the most relaxing thing, coloring, playing some music. You'd be surprised the conversations that happen in that little color circle. And what a shade of blue. Like, I was getting all caught up in making sure I had the marker outline and then filling in with the crayon just to see it pop. And I just remember learning that method from you with, I think it was Daffy Duck. Daisy Duck in one of our Mickey Mouse. I'm like, those pink shoes, I can't get them out of my mind. But having one of those moments again last night and throughout the week as we've been doing it has been phenomenal. It's been mending. But Torrent Tribe, we want to hear what's mending you. We also would love for you to rate us on whatever platform you're listening to us, because other parents need encouragement and they just need a moment to get away and step outside of parenthood circle and feel like they can laugh their woes away and lighten some of the parenting guilt and choose grace. And so memes, tell our folks how to stay connected.
We're at Torn MLB on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. And you can drop us an email to tornmlb@gmail.com. Thanks for joining.
Choose grace. When you feel torn, choose grace.